Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And this is Sam Avery.
Yes, Sam Avery joined us this afternoon, a familiar voice as a guest on the show. And with Charlie off starting his tour tonight, we enticed Sam to get the train down and he joined us. We had a lot of fun in the studio today. We covered a lot of ground. You got involved with some very good suggestions for a music festival we were putting on with a bit of a football flavour. Martin Kellner joined us. He'd ventured on to BBC Three. He wasn't massively impressed, I think it's fair to say, Sam, was he? I don't think he'll be going back there again. We had a Clips of the Week Merseyside special for you. Mike Wall joined us with a bit of non-sporting TV, as he always does. And we paid tribute. Yesterday, we do a regular feature with our good friends at Yesterday. And we featured the late, great Bobby Robson today on the eve of a big cup final for Newcastle. So we'll bring you that as well. Here it all is. Good afternoon, Sam. Good afternoon, everyone. And, yeah, welcome, Sam. It's lovely to have you with
us. Thank you.
We've always enjoyed your contribution. You've always fronted up as an Evertonian, good and bad, and generally it's thick and thin, as Kevin Keegan once said, and it's been a lot of thin recently.
It's been very thin.
Yeah. But you always come on. We appreciate it. So it's great to see you here in the studio. But there was some good news for you today. We just heard that quite emotional press conference there from Jordan Pickford. Quite Churchillian, I felt. A real call to arms for Evertonians.
If apathy is an emotion, that's what he sounded like. Could he have sounded more like he was reading that off a bit of paper?
It sounded like he was doing it at gunpoint, didn't it?
Well, really? It did. I just hope when he got married, his wedding vows sounded a bit more, a bit more emotion to them. I want that as a ringtone. I want him talking like this, just to answer your phone, Sam. He's so monotone. But
look, he does well for you. The interesting thing is, no relegation clause, which I think is a show of faith, but the only downside of that is were you to go down, then you'd be paying him 150 a grand a week plus bonuses, of course, in the Championship.
Yeah, that would be awful. I mean, when I first heard no relegation clause, I didn't hear the clause, I heard no relegation, and I thought, oh, that's good.
That's a good system. Yeah.
But that's not actually the end of the sentence. I think if we do go down, and there's still, you know, I think the next two or three games will give us a bit bigger indication of whether that's going to happen or not, whether it looks likely. But if we do go down, he's still England's number one, and I think that's probably going to give him, you know, he's still going to be in the forefront of a lot of clubs. And there probably is other clubs that he could go to at this point, but for whatever reason, he's very happy at Everton. Maybe he just loves chaos.
It could be, yeah. That's why he feeds off of chaos. Because so often, and he seems to have quietened down. I mean, your kids are young. They're sort of nearly 8 years old, your boys. So you're probably used to that. You know, they come back from a party. They've had cake. They've had a load of Sunny D or whatever. A lot of squash, a lot of sweets. And they're bouncing off the walls. And he was like that for quite a long time, wasn't he? But he seems to have quietened down a bit now.
Well, he's certainly not got that energy in that interview there, has he, about that?
I mean, he saves it for the pitch.
Talking about my kids, he sounded like he was in the nativity play, the way he was delivering those lines, wasn't he? But he's definitely quieting down sort of off the pitch. He became a dad, didn't he? And he's just, you know, his form, I think Everton fans have had to put up with a lot of mocking of our goalkeeper. And, you know, he made some really high-profile gaffes. That one in the Merseyside derby was when Divock Origi scored off that ridiculous moment. And I can't believe I'm bringing this up on national radio because it was a really painful memory for us all. But I think since then, he he was seeing a psychologist and he was sort of developing techniques that he could sort of reset after each sort of attack from the opposition. And, you know, he made some incredible saves that probably kept us up last season.
Yeah. I mean, he made a couple recently. There's one, just, you know, sometimes you don't even realise he saved it. He just gets a hand to it, makes all the difference. Now, talking to kids and too many sweets, you were telling us earlier on about your indoctrination system, which is, well, I mean, I'm sure everybody's got their own way of making sure their kids support the right club. But you live in Liverpool, which means, you know, there'll be a lot of kids at your boys' school that are Liverpool, yeah, and they may be looking now and again thinking, I'd rather be a red than a blue. But how have you got around it? What have you done?
Well, I'm a blue. My wife's a red. We've got twin boys. When they were born, she said, well, they can support Everton because it means more to you, which I thank her for.
Yeah.
But then you're right, they're in the situation where Liverpool are winning a lot of games, a lot of trophies. We haven't won anything since 1995. So I developed this system. We've got this like Everton sort of, it's like a little jar with the Everton logo on.
Mm.
And
was that homemade? Did you kind of cut one out, print it off and sort of print it onto the side of a jar? Did you always?
I wish I had, because that sounds even more kind of crazy. But it was just, I filled it with chocolates, and when Everton won, they got a chocolate to encourage them to want Everton to win in a sort of Pavlovian way.
Yeah.
And that worked a little bit, but not quite enough. So then I started saying, well, actually, when Liverpool lose, you get a chocolate as well. So they don't even like football now, but there's still these bitter Everton fans that just don't like Liverpool because it means they get sweets.
That is a bit of a creepy experiment, really.
It worked in a way, because they cheered when Everton win, they cheer when Liverpool lose, which, you know, the opposite is normally the case. But it was that lockdown season where we had Ancelotti, we had James Rodriguez. Liverpool had that terrible turn after they won the league. Mm. They were losing every week. We were winning every week. And I was looking at my kids going, they're going to end up with type 2 diabetes the way we're going in. But thankfully, Everton have sorted that out and they're absolutely very healthy now, my kids.
Well, if you can tell us how you lock the kids in, maybe you've got the sweet jar system as well, do let us know. Talksport.com/H&J. Text to 81089. Tweet to TSH&J. 03717223344. The other thing today, which was of interest, you were saying on your way in, you were giving some thought to quite a lot of the football cliches that come up, and they did remind you of something. So we're going to try and kick something off. So tell us more, Sam.
Yeah, I just think the football cliches are so plentiful, but a lot of them could sound like great band names, couldn't they?
Mm.
You know, I'm thinking ones like 2-goal cushion.
Yeah,
I'd pay £6 to watch them in a gig. new manager bounce is getting thrown about all over the place. Those words don't make sense in that order, but no, they do to football fans. And what a great band name for some kind of experimental jazz quartet.
Yeah. So what we're after is the kind of football phrase that you often hear. What sort of, because we're going to put a bill together. Imagine it's the H&J or the H&A stage at the Football Clichés Music Festival. So we're going to put a fantastic bill together. I mean, you need the cliche, so we'll kick us off with a cliche. What sort of music you think they sound like?
Yeah.
And we'll put them on the bill. If they're good enough, they can. We'll find out. I don't know who's going to headline yet. We'll have to see how it all takes shape.
It looked like a great bill, and it's probably just like, it's almost going to be like a bingo card of what, you know, managers will say in the press conferences as well, won't it?
That's
be
right.
All the big hitters.
Soccer Scrap Heap. I don't know what sort of stuff they would play. I just think it's got a bit of a rock, jazz rock feel to it.
Sounds a bit punky to me, that.
Does it? Yeah. Soccer Scrap Heap. You think 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah,
one
Pogo,
of them.
Pogo. Yeah.
Yeah. You played in a band, didn't you? Tell me back in the day. You
I did, yeah. Yeah, I played bass. A bit like
chair. What is it about that chair and bass players?
It's something about the chair. It just attracts those who like the deeper tone, I think.
Yeah.
I chose to play bass, very much like playing, I don't know, what's the football analogy? Playing like, I don't know, left back or something. It's not a glamorous position to play in a band, and I wanted to be in a band, so I thought I'll play bass and I'll get in a band, and hey presto, I did.
Couldn't
really play very well, but
you played some big gigs, didn't you? You played with some big support gigs and stuff.
Supported Motorhead once.
Wow.
This is like in the 90s, this is a long time ago.
Still.
But yeah, as an 18-year-old living with my mum, earning £30 a week, I felt like a rock star for like about 6 hours.
Well, plenty to come this afternoon. We're going to kick off. We're going to talk. Here we go. Well done to Mark, who's been in touch. Gegenpress.
Oh,
industrial funk. They'll be on the bill. Well done there. That does sound like...
They'd have the bass guitars right up by the chin, wouldn't
they?
That band.
It would be
level
quite
42
high up.
Style.
That's right, yeah. 6 of one and half a dozen of the other.
Oh.
They sound like a novelty act, don't they really? Boy band, says Roy the Gooner.
I think they're playing Butlins this year. I think they're doing that.
Please welcome to the stage. I know you love the magician. There they are. 6 of one and half a dozen of the other. Imagine that. They can't make much money, 12 of them, can they?
No.
Playing the old hits of the Doolies. Anyway, do let us know. We're building this fantastic music festival.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Hawksby and Sam Avery here on Talk Sport. And Sam mentioned earlier on that there was something about sort of football phraseology that lends itself to band names. And so we thought we'd put on a bit of a music festival. And you've been suggesting, you've been basically putting the bill together for us, which is very good. Goldmouth Scramble, says Jackie. That sounds like a good one. Some form of screamo / heavy metal group from Scandinavia. I could like hear that. Definitely. That's a good one.
I like Matt in Sales sent this one. Bounce Back Ability. They'll start with a few disappointing songs, probably new stuff from their latest album, before hitting back with all their old classic hits.
Nice one here. Chengi says, what about Expected Goals? Female vocal harmony group.
That's I hope Simon Cowell's listening to this, because yeah, they sound like X Factor contestants, don't they?
We liked Owen the Borough fan, didn't we? False Nine, but Nine spell N-E-I-N. German Electronica Kraut Rock.
Clever.
That's a very clever one. So, this coming together nicely.
The Hollywood Pass, 1970s-style glam rockers with Ron Atkinson jewellery and a 1970s Keegan-style curly perm. That's Mark Evans. Thanks, Mark.
Catenaccio, J-pop, says Mark. He's back with another one. Squeaky Bum Time. Oh, a Weird Al tribute band, says Harrison. So yeah, do keep those coming. You get the idea. We're putting the bill together for a top night of music.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
We're putting this show together, some of the football phrases you think would make a fantastic music festival. Game of two halves. First set is acoustic, second is full plugged in rock, says Dave in Tunbridge, who's given it a lot of thought. Every blade of grass. Imagine that would be a country music festival. We want a bit of country on the bill, wouldn't we? We'd have a little set from Every Blade of Grass.
I'd watch them, definitely. And yeah, I bet they'd release like an album on coloured vinyl or something. Outswinging Corner from Jack, and that is, they've got a mildly depressing pop rock four piece with terrible haircuts. I like the sound of that.
A thrash metal band from Bing in Manchester. The Group of Death. That's a tapping.
I think that's the first football cliche I ever heard. 86 World Cup, my dad, I was 8 years old, and my dad said, yeah, that's the Group of Death, son, and it's always stayed with me. I like this one. Turn and Face, they'd be a punk band. Songs include Get Into Them, Down the Line, and the old favourite, Don't Let It Bounce. That's Craig Marsh. Thank you.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Rod Woodward there. Go and check out his special on St David's Day over on the Beeb in Wales, and that big event next week where you'll catch him with Princess Anne.
Very
funny
man.
Have you ever worked with royalty?
No, I haven't. Yeah. I did sort of meet the Queen once, but wow, I was there to meet her, and she sort of walked past me, and that was it.
You were there to actually meet her?
Not to meet her. She was opening a venue in Liverpool, and I had to leave early, so then I went around the back, and I ended up at this door, and I went through this door, her and Prince Philip on the other side, cutting the ribbon to the plaque, and I opened this door, and I thought, this security's not very good, because I'm right near the Queen by accident.
Fantastic. More from Sam. He's got a little tale to tell us about a night at the theatre while Liverpool were playing Real Madrid.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Yes, the late great Sir Bobby Robson. He would have loved to have been there on Sunday, I'm sure, to see his team play. What a career. When you kind of listen to their sort of story there, you know, as a player at Fulham in England, managing Fulham, and then, you know, Ipswich, an incredible time he had with Ipswich there, and England manager, then going off to coach abroad after England.
Yeah, which is what not a lot of British managers did at the time. You know,
not certainly someone like that to go off to Holland.
No.
You know? I mean, he was kind of, you know, he had a terrible, got slaughtered at the hands of the press, then had a fantastic Italia 90, and then went off with his stock high after what he'd done there to PSV. I met him when he was at Barcelona. And I went and watched Barcelona play Valencia, and Ronaldo, who obviously he'd known at PSV, played and scored his first hat trick that evening.
Wow!
And the old white hankies came out in celebration. It was a brilliant game.
Wow, what a nice
3-2 to Barcelona. It was a brilliant ding dong of a match.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine was working in Barcelona. I went to the press conference afterwards with him, and he'd been chatting to Sir Bobby, because mine was a kind of an English voice who lived there, and he used him as a bit of a sounding board, because there were frustrations in the job, you know, the politics of it
always,
and And after the match, he did the press conference, and he was he loved football, and he'd watched this boy that he'd taken from Holland to play a Barcelona, effectively, this fantastic player. And he kind of probably thought all the Barcelona press would be purring, saying, wow, what a fantastic night. This is why I got into this job. But the first two or three questions were about, how do we concede that second goal?
Wow, God.
And Bobby's Spanish wasn't great, but he was saying to him, celebrate. This was a fantastic... Why are you asking those questions? A celebration of you've watched a great player score a hat-trick and Barcelona have won tonight. And he was so annoyed, you could tell. So the press conference finished and I went up to the sort of front with my mate and said, Bobby, this is Paul, he's a friend of mine, he's over here. And he shook my hand, but you could see he was still angry. And he said, Alisson, nice to meet you. And he said, can you believe this lot? Can you believe them? Honestly, he said they've watched the game of football out there. Why did they become journalists? Why, you know, and he was so annoyed, and he couldn't get it out of his mind. And he said that fella, and he's just he was that fella. He's, and he said, honestly, if I see him on the way, I'm going to run him over in the car park. He was kind of joking, but he was just so annoyed that he couldn't believe that these guys. You know, I mean, obviously he's got skin in the game. He's the manager,
of course.
It was the joy of football.
The joy of football is something that I think gets missed sometimes, and you've got to celebrate the wins, and that's why I don't like when people have a go at other fans for celebrating a scrappy 1-0 win over, you know, a team who were below them in the league. If it was a win, celebrate it, because a lot of time football can make you miserable. So Bobby Robson, I always think, when I think of him, I think a smile, kind of, because I remember him as a kid, and he was the England manager, the two World Cups that I watched him manage the team in. But I always thought he just conducted himself with a lot of class. Even in instances like that, when he's angry, you could tell he had that joy for the game and the joy in finding young players and cultivating them and almost being like a father figure to them as well. You know, a lot of players have talked about that with Sir Bobby.
It's funny, you always get these moments. The moment I always think of him for is England. Just after Chris Waddle had put that penalty over the bar, then they cut to the bench at Italia 90.
Yeah.
And he's walking onto the pitch to sort of commiserate with the players. And he's got this kind of rueful grin on his face. Like,
I know exactly what you're talking about.
And Fred Street, the physio, comes up and puts his arm around him and has that kind of face. It's like, man, we were so close. We're just a whisker from making... And they would have fancied beating... It wasn't a great Argentina team, and you think they would have gone and beaten them. And it would have been payback for 86. And you could just see everything going through his mind at that moment. And that's funny. That's the kind of frozen in time Bobby Robson moment.
That smile. And I think he sort of does that with
his
hands,
doesn't
he? He
does. Almost like
Darn it, we were so close. And to be honest, whenever England are in a tournament, I become that 12-year-old boy who watched, I think it was the day after my 12th birthday, watching that game, eating pizza.
Yeah.
And I was devastated for about 4 months
I found that was so painful.
It was,
I think,
really,
you're right.
Was.
I mean, I went when we lost to Germany in Euro 96, and that was horrible. But I felt worse at Italia 90 watching it.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Sam, you were telling me you went with your old mum to the theatre the other night, on the night in Liverpool, while Liverpool were playing Real Madrid.
Yeah, I took my mum to see, it was like a Beatles story sort of show. It was very good at the Royal Court Theatre in Liverpool. And I'm sitting there, it's packed theatre. I was thinking, Liverpool playing Real Madrid, it must be full of Everton fans or non-football fans, which, let's face it, recently is probably the same thing. But we're watching the show. The show starts, and then there's a guy right near me, not next to me. He's about three away, and he's watching the Liverpool game on his phone.
Yeah.
So at the end of each Beatles song, and it's very song heavy, this show.
Yeah.
He just like updates everyone near him on the score. So like Love Me Do finishes, and he's like, it's 1-0, and then the next song finishes, it's 2-0, and then you could hear his voice. I think they did Strawberry Fields, and he went 2-1, and as the Beatles got more experimental, Liverpool's midfield just dissipated, and by the end he was like 5-2, and I couldn't believe after Sgt. Pepper's it was 5-2.
Yeah, they went a bit Lucy in the Sky, didn't they? The old midfield did get a bit psychedelic. Yeah, I mean, we've often had some great stories of people like going to funerals and, you know, they're just not being able to help themselves. They've got a match on, you know, so he would have understood, and like at some very moving sort of eulogy, someone goes, yes!
Yeah.
There's been a goal scored. It's never good. The Beatles feature in the Clips of the Week special.
Wow,
later
great.
On. We've got a Merseyside special in Sam's honour.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Yes, here we go then. It's time once again to take a look at a week of sport on TV through the eyes of one Martin Kellner, squad number 9. Good afternoon, Martin.
Good afternoon, Sam. Good afternoon, Paul.
Hiya, Martin.
Yes, it's been a sad week, overshadowed by the death of two giants from the world of TV sport, Martin. And there's a man who wrote the definitive work on sport on TV. They both would have... Sit Down and Cheer, of course, your book. They both would have featured heavily in the book, I'm sure.
Very heavily. Actually, I was just looking through the index before to see what I'd written about them. And I'd written a fair bit about the battle, which hasn't been focused on a whole lot, between Barry Davis and John Motson, you know, during the 90s. And we all, almost as much as we, you know, we waited for the European, you know, the Europa Cup draws and all that today, we used to look at the papers and wait to find out who the BBC were going to choose to commentate on those cup finals in the early 90s. Is it going to be Barry Davis? Is it? And you know, the nation split into two camps. It was like Coke versus Pepsi or Oasis versus Blur. Which side were you on? Were you a Motty man or were you, you know, a Barry Davis person? And I interviewed Jonathan Martin, who was the head of sport during that time at the BBC. And his analysis of it was that Motty commentated from the terraces, Barry Davis commentated from the grandstand.
That's so, Motty liked that. He often used to quote that, and he liked that description. He felt that was... Barry wrote a lovely piece in the paper today about Motty, and it was a friendly rivalry.
Friendly. Yeah. You know, at the time, it was for real. It was friendly.
Well, they both wanted the big games, and as I said yesterday, I spoke to... The editor, I spoke to somebody who was running all the World Cup stuff, I think in 86, and had to sit Motty down and tell him they were going to give Barry the final, didn't go down stunningly well. But, you know, that they both wanted the big games, you know.
Yeah, absolutely they did. And like I say, it divided the nation. Motty was, whatever you say, was the voice of the terraces.
Yeah.
Companionable, clubbable, very nice guy. I spent an afternoon with him in the pub opposite BBC Leeds. I'm not sure what he was doing there, but a lot of people have said this week, you know, he always had time for people.
Yeah.
He absolutely did. I mean, sometimes too much time. You know, I was looking at my watch thinking, we couldn't get out of here. So many stories.
Yeah.
And he wanted to share them. Also, a bit of a JFK theorist. I don't know whether you knew that, but he was...
I think he'd had many kind of memorable chats with Martin O'Neill about that, who's also very interested in the old
any of this.
Kennedy
this is,
assassination.
This is fascinating.
When he was in America doing the World Cup over there, you know, he got the BBC driver to drive him to Dallas so he could go into the Kennedy Museum.
The book depository, yeah.
Well, if he was as meticulous with his research as he is with his notes, because his notes were legendary.
He's probably got on a grassy knoll written down in note form somewhere. But and Dickie Davis as well, as we said earlier in the week, a great sort of front man for World of Sport. On a, that probably does it predate you, Sam? Do you remember?
No, I vaguely remember
Dickie Davis World. Yeah,
vaguely remember Dickie Davis. Yeah, and I can still see his face and his smile
and the old just, rakish tash.
Yeah,
that
and
he had.
Grace, oh, but he had that great spot.
The Malin Streak, they called it, for reasons you wouldn't know. It was a TV show, which was a kind of Catherine Cookson novel that was a bit of a bodice ripper, a kind of working class. And the guy had hair like Dickie Davis.
Okay.
So they gave it the Malin Streak, it got called, didn't it, for people of a certain age, Martin?
Yeah.
People of a certain age, absolutely right. Yeah. I mean, initially, I don't know if you told this story about, I interviewed him for the book and he was telling me about how the programme started, you know, and I very much hope that somewhere in the world, people are still diving off cliffs.
Yeah, I think they're in Acapulco. Almost certainly in Acapulco. Or they're rolling on logs.
Rolling logs. People are the rolling.
Or they're basically having stock car caravan, towing a caravan in a stock car race. This was the quality of we used to get in the
old days. But those bizarre sports, that used to make my weekend.
Yeah.
Like, with
all
the, later on, I remember Trans World Sport had shown some that much more sort of stuff as well. It was really, really interesting.
So it's telling me how, you know, obviously they took a lot of that stuff from the ABC program in the United States, which is called Wide World of Sports. And he said to me that, you know, World of Sport was going to be called Wide World of Sport.
Yeah.
But they looked down the first sort of bill of fare and it was table tennis from Wembley, racing from Sandown Park and wrestling from Lewisham. And they decided, as everything was within about 8 miles of London,
the narrow
they
world
dropped
of sport.
Someone tell the baseball authorities in America about the World Series, then. That seems to be the same logic.
It's the same thing, isn't it? Yeah, absolutely.
So, Martin, what have you watched this week?
What have I watched this week? I mean, obviously, I've watched all those tributes, including, I just wondered, I don't know if it's a line anybody's quoted, but he did an interview on The Beeb with Dan Walker, which I watched on YouTube, and Dan Walker said to him, was the coat your idea? And he said, well, I think I was the coat's idea, actually. Which I thought was a lovely, modest line that that Marty had. It's brilliant. What have I watched? I watched a thing called Go Hard or Go Home.
Right.
On it was a BBC Three programme, which, as we know, is the kiddies' channel. Go Hard or Go Home.
Yes. By kiddie, do you mean under 40? Is that what it is?
Precisely, exactly what I'm saying. It's a sort of rag bag of all the reality show cliches. They take eight sort of feckless young people out to the Dominican
Republic.
They're
not all feckless.
No, they
are. They're
pretty feckless. There's a certain amount of... there's a lack of feck.
Absolute lack of feck. There certainly is.
Very little feck. Anyway, they go out there and the idea is that there are eight warriors. These are people who involved to some level in some sports, either... a lot of strength sports, that sort of thing, Thai, kickboxing. There's a rugby union, a woman rugby union player. I've not heard of a lot of these people, but a lot of you will. They're strong people, strong, fit people.
Yeah.
And the idea is they're the warriors and they're going to train these people to make something more of their lives. But, you know, there was a girl there who's, she was in her early 20s, and, you know, she was, well, not to put too fine a point, she was a certain amount, you know, she was overweight. So this girl there is a little bit overweight, and she was, all right, we're going to put you through this tough challenge, et cetera, et cetera. And she said, this is my last option. If this doesn't work, I don't know what I'll do, or I don't know where I'll go. And I thought to myself, well, you could try sort of eating less, maybe. I mean, maybe I'm being unkind.
Bit on the nose. Hashtag be kind, Martin.
Well,
that's why
you're
not watching the kids' channel. Wouldn't go down well on the kids' channel, that.
Be kind or go home, Martin.
Yes, well... Different show.
Well, for me, Go Hard or Go Home is a Ministry of Sound album. But there you go. I mean, fair enough. I mean, there were some of them that genuinely did have issues. And because it's the BBC, there has to be issues involved. And they have to say at the end, you know, if you're having trouble with body image or gender identity issues...
Well, they will be now. Afternoon.
I just think it was slightly... maybe I have been a little bit unkind. Lovely, but lovely, you know, feckless... But lovely.
Feckless, but lovely. Maybe you should have been called
people.
That.
They were lovely people. And the chat, you know, but it was just, as I say, it was like a rag bag of reality show cliches. Mm. It was like The Apprentice, but without the high heels. So, yeah. So well, they can I'll use that as their bill matter if they want.
I want to go on that show. I want to go on that show. When they say, go hard or go home, I say, I'll go home, thanks, yeah. And just go home.
Do I still get paid?
I think some of them will go home, actually. Yeah. Because there will be people, you know, even on The Apprentice, there's people who don't want to do the whole thing.
Yeah.
And it can be, you know, it can be a bit cruel. And I'm not sort of trying in any way to, well, I probably am actually, trying to diminish what it is they're doing. But I don't know what it's for, really.
No.
It was one of those programmes where I find myself sort of shouting at the TV screen, is this what we're paying our licence fee for? You know, as if I was a talk TV presenter or writing a leader in the Daily Express, you know.
I do like the idea of you sitting there shouting at the telly, Martin, at BBC Three. Call this music.
God, that's just noise. It's just noise, this, yeah.
Martin, we're out of time, sadly.
It's a shame. I'll talk about Full Swing next week.
Yeah, it's ongoing, isn't it, the golf documentary.
It is.
You're the king of overnights. Huge in Kuala Lumpur. You're back overnight, I take it.
Indeed. We have picked up a couple of listeners in the Philippines, I'm delighted.
Oh, that's good. That's good to hear. Not the Aquino family. They're suddenly on board, are they? I don't know.
I don't know who it is, but a couple of listeners in the Philippines have been texting me, so we're hoping to get into double figures by Christmas.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Time then to look at a bit of non-sporting TV, if you can find a way of squeezing it in with everything that's on this weekend. As always, the Star's very own Brighton supporting Mike Ward joins us. Good afternoon, Mike.
Good afternoon, guys.
Hi, Mike.
So, we have Brighton Corner.
Yes.
When are you playing this weekend?
Do we have to?
Are you playing this weekend? I'm having a look at the moment.
We've got the cup tie, haven't we, on Tuesday?
Oh, of course. Yeah, that's
sorry,
right.
To be honest, I tore up my season ticket after the final whistle.
Blimey, that's a bit extreme.
The thing is, it's on your phone now, isn't it? So tearing it up is quite hard.
You need
industrial equipment to tear it.
We've been rabbiting on today, so we've got loads to squeeze in about 3 minutes. But we're going to kick off with Beyond Paradise.
Death in Paradise spin-off.
On for an hour before Death in Paradise.
It is, yes. But Death in Paradise finishes tonight, so there's a little overlap. Although next week, Death in Paradise carries on because they're digging up some repeats of the old one rather than putting on something else. So yeah, Beyond Paradise is a spin-off. So you've got Chris Marshall, who was D.I. Humphrey Goodman a couple of series ago, about 5 years ago, I think now, reprising his role as D.I. Humphrey Goodman, but he's in Devon, that's the point.
Martin, they should be calling it, for detective, I would think. That would have been the perfect...
Brilliant. Yeah. You didn't think of that?
I just thought of that, Mike.
No, you didn't.
Oh, I'm afraid I did.
That's quality, lad. Quality.
Hang on, I'm just writing that down.
Yeah, but that's basically what it is. Yeah,
it
I know
is.
You're missing the West Country, you like Death in Paradise,
yes.
Let's put it together.
Quirky character. It's very easygoing kind of stuff. It doesn't have that kind of fish out of water thing, which obviously Death in Paradise has, and Doc Martin has as well. It's good scenery.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure
nothing
people will love
scenery.
It. It'd be lovely, relaxing TV.
Yeah. Nothing too demanding. It's right on my street.
Yes. And Dex Saturday Night Takeaway is back. It's up against Michael McIntyre's show. I take it that's still running with that, which is you know, they're going to get some competition, aren't they?
It is, but it's Ant and Dec, isn't it?
Yeah, it's true.
And they've got, you know, good guest stars. They've got David Tennant in this first one doing the guest announcer thing. You know, as we've said before, many times before, it owes it all for lot to the sort of, you know, the Noel Edmonds house parties type of thing, that fork that Saturday night, bit of everything chucked in format. So you've got the competitions, you've got the games, you've got the audience participation, blah blah blah, and they're just brilliant at it. And I still remember when they carried on doing it in the very early days of lockdown, when they were sort of pretty much doing it from their hotel room on a laptop or something or other. So, you know, you've always got to thank them for that.
Yeah, indeed. So that's 7 o'clock. You're still missing The Masked Singer. You see you in the family, Sam. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I do a lot of gigs on Saturday nights, but I did manage to watch it on the Sunday morning. It's a brilliant show. Brilliant, you know, going back into that Saturday afternoon light entertainment. Really enjoyed it.
Do you not like Starstruck?
I haven't watched that one.
Stars in Their Eyes, a team version of Stars in Their Eyes.
You've just blown me mind.
Competing this week, we have, this is members of the public doing the Stars, three Christina Aguilera's, three Usher's, three Meatloaf's, and three Shania Twain's. Shania Twain also being one of the panellists, the real Shania Twain. Also, but they should do it the other way around. But yes, so that's an interesting thing.
Three meatloaves, and as you say, and a side of onion rings. Of course, well said.
I'm all over that.
Now, Dancing on Ice, they used to have various weeks, wouldn't they? Show week and this week. It's props week.
Props week, yes. So you've got six people left in contention, and the idea is that they have to perform with a prop. So it could be a bucket. It could be a wheelie luggage thing like they use on The Apprentice. It could be a hoop. It could be a speedboat. Anything that sort of they can get onto the ice and
cavort
around.
Ice skating with a speedboat.
Sorry, I'm thinking of Bullseye.
Yes.
Yeah, any of those things, Todd Carty, anything wooden and sort of, you know, sort of inanimate that they can dance around that person, that thing, I should say, and impress the judges. And yet another one will go at the end of it.
We were so tight for time. 6:30 ITV Sunday, then followed by the last ever series of Endeavour with the great Roger Allam.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Well, there we are. That was this afternoon's show. Sam, thank you ever so much.
Thanks for having
me. Joining us. I'm sure we'll see you again if you're up for it.
Yeah, I'm up for it.
Nice one. I'm not here next week. Charlie will be here. I think Adi Oladipo will be joining him for a few of the days. So have a fantastic weekend. Enjoy all the sport. We bring you the cricket, of course. And we bring you the boxing and the Carabao Cup final. Plenty on TalkSport to keep you busy. Have a great weekend.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.